This show is brought to you by
6 years old, maybe productions.
Yo, crew members, what it be?
What it do?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just like pressing buttons and listening to music. Fuck it. All right, Andy is feeling under the weather today. He and his son, unfortunately, I believe he said he had a fever. So yes. Hoping for a quick recovery for him.
Never a good thing.
So then next week, hopefully we can get into a Heroes and Villains. Get back into some more of that original content.
Yeah,
not quite sure yet what we're going to pick the game of. But I'm definitely excited for it. I think it's going to be a good time. But I wanted to, at first Andy and I were trying to figure out what to do for this episode. But then with everything, with all these different leaks that people are potentially saying about what's happening with Microsoft and Xbox, and they're going to stop making consoles, and just there was just so much stuff going on for the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And now we finally got the information from Phil Spencer himself and a few other big wigs over at Microsoft.
Yeah.
And we got a lot more information, so now we can actually go ahead and learn, not necessarily learn, but be able to have a conversation about this stuff.
Right. Before we go any further, I just want you to say that I'm Wes's dungeon daddy.
Oh, shit, I forgot the fucking...
You did. It's okay. We're here.
Dude, you've been here so many times.
We're here for each other. I know.
And you absolutely are my dungeon daddy.
I do his DMing for Team Clock, a natural 1D in the adventure. I also do stuff for the Twisted Cape, which should probably get going again real soon. And then...
Michael Clyburn, ladies
and gentlemen. Yeah, Mike Clyburn. Thank you. Nice to have you on. Nice to meet you all. Again.
I'm about to say, dude, this is like your fourth or fifth time on the show. All right, my bad. I didn't even just think. I started talking about Andy, and then it just made me sit here and just say, okay, fine, he's here. Let's just go ahead and just keep moving.
Let's just keep it moving.
All right, so we got a 23-minute long podcast that, like I said, we got Phil Spencer, we had...
I forget the names.
Oh, shit.
Phil Spencer's the one that I know.
Yeah,
that I know.
Yeah, he's the only one that I actually know.
Let me ask you a question. Did you watch or listen to the entire podcast? Because I did not.
No, I did not. I got my information off of a recap video from IGN and also from this article I'm looking at right now on digitaltrends.com.
Right. So I just watched a video that was like chopped up into basically 3-4 minutes. Can we start by talking about like some of the rumors that were out there? So I don't know about you. I heard stuff like, oh, it's Microsoft's no longer going to be a platform for Xbox. I heard
Game Pass was going to the other consoles.
Yeah, Game Pass is going everywhere. They're no longer doing exclusives. It got kind of crazy out there.
So all of that came from the latest batch of numbers that PlayStation has the PS5 has outsold the Series X 2-1.
Yeah. And honestly, I've come to expect that, right?
I agree.
Because, I mean, look, I'm not going to mince any words about it. Xbox is where I prefer to play. It just is. But I understand that PlayStation is where a large majority of the console gaming community right now wants to play their games. And that's fine. Pick what you like. I happen to have, Series X and a PS5.
About
and
that, Switch. we're able to benefit from having all of them, and enjoy it.
So it's fine, but I mean, the solution here is, to me, has always been simple. Get back to making great games. And if you make great games,
people will come back.
Right. Easily. Yeah. It won't even be an issue.
Agreed. Yeah. And like I said, I mean, it comes down to the exclusives a lot of times. Because that's where Sony has been able to shine.
Not their movies, I can promise you that.
So No. Not their movies. We won't even get into that.
No.
This isn't the podcast.
No, we'll just wait.
I'm just glad I don't have to see it. Yeah. That's all. But
I had a free ticket. I had a free ticket. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say.
I don't think I want it. The exclusive games, right? Let's go ahead and let's get back to that.
Yeah.
The Last of Us. Horizon.
Ghost of Tsushima.
Ghost of Tsushima. I mean,
Spider-Man 2.
Spider-Man 2. Like, I mean, even Killzone. You know what I mean? You mean if like, in, like Infamous Son.
Yep.
Or Infamous. Sorry, not Infamous Son. Infamous.
Yeah.
There is an Infamous Son, but.
I'm going to be grabbing Helldivers 2.
Helldivers, yeah.
Yeah.
Again, we're like, that is one place that Sony has been able to say, you know something? We like what you're doing. Let us pay for it. Let us work with you.
Right.
Instead of what Microsoft seems to always do is, oh, you're doing that? Well, we don't really care what you're doing. We're just going to buy you anyway.
Right.
And then 6 months later, we're going to lay off 90% of your staff.
Right. Which is nuts. Because, like, if you're gonna put out the money to make the investment, right, make the investment all the way through.
Yes.
So what you should do is buy them, put full resources behind them, let them develop a game. That way you can tell if the quality warrants you moving forward with that level of staff, right? And then if it does, you expand that team. And if it doesn't, you contract that team. Like, you do what you got to do, but you got to make decisions before you start putting out content. Because now that smaller labor force is now overtaxed immediately. Yes. Immediately.
I love the way you put that to begin with, though.
Yeah.
I love the way you put that, to where, like, they and honestly, I agree with you. They should have looked at it like how Sony did with Guerrilla,
right?
With being like Horizon, brand new IP when it first dropped. It was like
great game.
It's like, okay, what is this about? Post apocalyptic. You mean basically bringing everything back to the beginning? Yeah, some people with some technology. Animals are now non organic.
Yeah,
like I love the way the story was made there.
Yeah.
Now, Xbox is working on stuff like that, and that's how we end up with something like Starfield. But Starfield came out before it was ready. It wasn't finished cooking,
yeah,
like at all. And like, I'll be honest, I never actually finished the game.
Neither have I. I still haven't finished it. I'm right at the end.
I'm pretty close to that. You mean to that point with it? But like,
why?
It became too big. Like everything in the game became too big.
It's not about the size. It's just like maybe the story will pan out in the end, right? Like, there's been really big revelations.
Story felt dry, though.
It did. I was just like, eh. There's a couple of missions that just had me hooked from the jump. I was like, oh man, we're gonna absolutely knock this out. This is great. And then there's others where I'm just like, all right, I'll do it. I don't want to, but I'll do it.
I also lost my girl too.
Oh no.
Yeah. In the first big
like point of no return.
The first big bombing thing. Right. Yeah. Damn. Yeah, where they actually hit the town.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I lost her. I was
damn.
Oh man, it was bad.
It's hard.
I don't want to go back. That was too far.
That's why I keep multiple saves, baby. That's why I keep multiple saves.
I try to keep multiple saves, but then sometimes games don't fucking let me.
BG3.
You realize how many times I've had to delete all the fucking saves?
No, I have multiple saves.
I have multiple saves too, but eventually it tells you that you have too many saves. You need to delete.
Oh no. So what I do is I keep a quick save and an auto save. So, and I've been saving everything over auto save zero. We'll talk about that later.
Oh, okay. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we're talking about Xbox right now and the goofiness they're getting into.
Yeah, so they try to do that stuff with games like Starfield, with like Hell Saga, you mean Senua's Saga, Hellblade.
Yeah.
And they're trying to. I mean, I think Avowed is another one that's an exclusive.
Yeah,
they're trying, but it always seems like they're a few steps back on. You know what I mean? On these types of things to try to help them gain momentum and actually drive sales.
You know what would really help that? Not letting executives get involved in game decisions. Let the game developers make games.
That is true.
And then executives worry about making moves in other places to make your money. But what have you guys always said on this podcast? I don't care how long game takes to come out, right?
No, I just want the game to be good.
Right.
I want the story to be good.
And that's the thing. If you don't let a game finish, if you don't let developers finish, if you don't let writers finish, if you don't let animators finish, you don't let artists finish, what happens? You get a rushed piece of gameplay. No one likes that.
Yeah.
No one likes it. So if they're smart and they let the game people make their games, then you're cool. Your quality goes up. You get more install base back. Get maybe not more people buying Xboxes, but they've slashed the price of the actual consoles. Mm-hmm. So now you can get Xboxes cheaper than you could ever get them before. And then, bang, you're right back in competition, sort of, with Sony. But they need to go back to whatever it was that made 360 so special. And I don't know if they're thinking like that right now.
No, they absolutely aren't. Yeah, and you're right, because 360, that was the console that really broke the wall for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, I mean, look, the PS5, it is a great console.
It is. It's fantastic. It's
a fantastic console.
That controller's ridiculous.
I love the haptics. I love the controller. I really do. And, again, the games. You know what I mean? They're doing the right thing with these games.
Yeah.
With letting these game developers actually create, nurture, thrive. You know what I mean? I mean, let these things grow.
Yeah.
They're actually doing it the right way for the most part.
Right.
And it's Xbox has never looked at, well, Microsoft has never looked at Xbox, in my mind, as an entity that's going to make them money.
Right. But they've also lost money on basically every console they've
ever
made.
Every single one. Everyone.
Which is crazy.
Like, because I remember when the Series X was first talked about coming out, and everybody was talking about the pricing. Because that was the big thing when we were trying to figure out, like, the battle of the consoles, which one? And then it was like, okay, well, what about pricing? Because everybody's like, there ain't no way I'm spending $1,000.
Right.
Because that's basically how much the Xbox costs if you actually put it out marketing right. You know what
right,
I mean?
Like, right.
And look, PlayStation's the same thing, dude. It's also going to be a very expensive system.
The funny thing is, Xbox relies on their software to then make the money, or their services, rather.
Yes.
So Game Pass as a service is a fantastic value. Like, it started as a fantastic value and it's gone up in price. Still absolutely worth it. Probably, like, as Hav says, which I agree with, best deal in gaming, because look at all the games that you get, and that roster is only getting bigger.
Yes.
So
if you look at the stuff they take away and the stuff they bring in, you know what I mean? You're always in the black.
Right.
You're never in the red. You're never looking at it going, man, I don't have enough to play on this.
Right. Right. And so, I mean, there are people who that doesn't matter to, fine. Don't use the service. It's cool. It's fine. No one's gonna harass you for that.
Nah.
You know, no one cares, honestly.
No. And that's the thing, man. Like honestly, I truly don't. It depends on what I'm in the mood for, to depend on which console I'm going to jump on.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Like sometimes I'll come down here, I'm on the Xbox, and I'm just in a kick for Baldur's Gate, or maybe I might want to jump back into Starfield, something like that.
Right.
Or maybe there's something else that, like Helldivers 2, like we were talking about.
Right.
Right? You know what I mean? I'm going to pick that up for PlayStation, and then I can go ahead and just have my little solo journeys or something like that there. You know
right.
what I mean? I mean, even though it's co-op, but still. I really do hope Microsoft does what you said and tries to figure out what made the 360 so special.
Right. I mean, it's quality games. Like, there were fantastic games on 360 that they just let develop properly. And it was like peak Halo time. So, I mean, that was a system mover, as opposed to whatever they were trying to do with Halo Infinite, making a live service game. But, yeah, no one cares about live service games like that. It's just, especially not for your flagship IP.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to say that. Now, what they were saying about the games that were going to be moving to all consoles, all whatever, was only four. They said it was like two community games and two like lower tier, not so crazy exclusive games. So
yeah.
I think one of those games is definitely Grounded.
And I think the other one is absolutely Hi-Fi Rush.
I was going to say that. Like, for the community service, I think it's Grounded. For the
low tier,
yeah, the not exclusive, it's got to be a Hi-Fi Rush. And I feel like, I think you were saying about something about seeing that on Nintendo, how you felt about that.
So what I was saying was that I remember seeing Ori when it first ended up on the Nintendo Switch, and it's like how that is the perfect console for that type of game. And for, I mean, for that Metroidvania style, because that's what, you know what I mean? That's what Nintendo was known for, you know what I mean? Platformers and all that type of stuff. So that made perfect sense. But the graphics and the style just seem like they work really well with a Nintendo.
Yeah.
That's all I was saying.
Yeah.
I just think that it would be nice.
It's no Mortal Kombat. We don't need any more of that.
Oh, dude, that was bad. That was bad. So one of the things that Spencer did say is that Starfield and Indiana Jones and the Great Circle are not.
Yeah.
They are not going to be thrown into all consoles.
One of the things I saw the most was, oh, it's going to be Starfield. It's going to be Indiana Jones. All right, come on, man. Chill.
I've been seeing people scream about it being Starfield. Here's the thing. With all of the shit that Starfield has gotten, like the negative feedback on that game, or like the stuff that we were talking about,
right,
with it, and I haven't heard anything about any major patches for the game to even make me want to go back to even look at it.
There have been patches.
I mean, there have been patches. I just don't think there have been anything like...
I've just moved on to other stuff at this point. The thing that does make me curious, though, is that there's supposed to be DLC with that. So when we got early access,
we
got the first DLC. I'm waiting for news on that.
Ooh, you know which one might... It could be, just because of the way that it fell flat, Redfall.
Oh yeah!
If they move that to other consoles,
that's another live service type game.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean,
that game absolutely was considered community.
But why would you do that? That's a game that's been
patched. I
have
heard that they have done things to it.
Right.
I mean, when we finished playing it, we couldn't delete it fast
enough. Oh, we all were just like, no.
Uninstalling it was too
good. We were still in the chat.
We really were.
The credits have rolled. All right. Really time to uninstall this.
But, I mean, look, those are good picks, though.
Yeah.
Grounded is... I think Grounded, they can make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Because that was fun.
Grounded is Minecraft. Yes. Like, Grounded is gonna do for them on every other console what Minecraft did for them once they bought Mahjong.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, because, like, dude, it's... Grounded is such a fun sandbox.
Right. Oh man, it's so good.
And quite literally there is a sandbox. Watch out for the ant lines.
Yeah.
God, those things were creepy. Another thing that they went ahead and said that was not gonna happen at all is Game Pass is staying on Xbox. Game Pass is not going to PS5 or Switch. That is another one that I did hear. I heard a lot of rumors that it was gonna be going and Switch eventually, honestly, I could see it.
I could, but like
if they eventually decide to say fuck it, and I mean we're really not doing this console thing,
right? But I feel like that's a ways off.
Yeah,
I don't think we're close to that at all.
No, but yeah. So from that also stemmed into the next thing that they talked about, because in that they were saying not only is Game Pass thriving, Game Pass is doing fantastic, they're getting record numbers all over the place,
right,
but also now with the Activision Blizzard deal completely solidified,
right,
and finalized, Diablo 4 on March 28th is going to be making its way to Game Pass.
Right.
Now that is fantastic for the 30 something or however many million people,
yeah,
you know what I mean, have this but didn't buy the game, because we bought the game just because we knew,
yeah,
I mean, we knew what we love those style of games. We love playing those four player over the top.
Right.
You know I mean, just like Diablo, like we ran Diablo 3 so hard.
Right.
So
then we ran the hell out of 4 too.
We did.
I honestly, I don't think we're done there, but I think
once actual DLC comes out,
right,
you know what I mean? Like not this season stuff, because the season stuff's okay. But I mean, for me, it's the same thing as any other service shit.
Right.
I'm not putting any money into it.
Right.
I don't care. But yeah, dude, once we actually get DLC, we're going to go right back in. We're just going to go at it just as hard.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Phil Spencer, apparently he has been with Xbox for 20 years. I didn't even know that.
Good for him.
I didn't realize he's been here that long. Yeah, man, half the time you've been alive, you old fuck.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. what he did say is that he hopes that Xbox, and he wants to make sure that Xbox is going to be around for the next 20 years. And on top of that, they talked about how their hardware is one of the most critical components of them staying in the game, in the console game.
Now, here's the thing I want to say about their hardware, right? Their hardware is very good.
Yeah.
Like, the advances that they made between Xbox. So Xbox was already the most powerful of its generation, right? Because it was Xbox, PS2, and GameCube all the time.
Yeah.
And then 360, PS3, and I think was GameCube. It Wii? Started GameCube, then went Wii?
I think so.
Right. Again, still, I think the PS3 may have been more powerful, but 360, I think, had better games at the time. Then they went back to be, like, since then, they've been most powerful console. Xbox One, far more powerful.
Well, I mean, also, look at what they were doing with it. You were able to do picture-in-picture. You were able to, right. With, like, the Kinect and being able to, like, you know what I mean, essentially stream video, you know what I mean, stream
right.
FaceTime with your friends.
So that brings it to my problem with them, right? Like, they don't know what they want to be. Do you want to be a game company? Do you want to be an entertainment company? Like, which is it? It's hard to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
And they've taken some lumps in the community along the way. So God only knows the next 20 years are going to bring.
Look at their competition.
Right.
Sony. PlayStation's owned by Sony.
Right.
Sony is a gaming company, and they're also entertainment.
Let's get question marks about some of that entertainment.
What I mean by entertainment isn't like I mean, yes, the movies aren't great.
Marvel movies, no, stay away from that shit. I mean, here Uncharted was ass too, so I mean.
Oh yeah, I heard it was bad too. But I'm talking more of like everything that you get under the Sony umbrella, you
right.
know what I mean, with like the technology.
TVs.
Because that's where they really shine.
Right.
And obviously Microsoft shines more with software because right. of like Windows and everything, and all that.
Yeah.
Just basically everything that Microsoft is known for.
Right, exactly. So I mean I just want to see you give me a reason to utilize this unbelievably powerful machine that you have that I spend most of my time playing on.
Yes. And with that, they, like I said, they talked about a huge leap in components and hardware going from where we are now with the Series X to whatever the next future console is.
Right. So thinking about the next generation, like, what do you think Xbox is trying to do in next gen?
So we talked about this a little bit before we cut the mics on, and we're listening to something Bond. I can't remember what her first name is.
I mean,
but she's one of the head people with Microsoft, and she was saying the way she was talking about these leaps, it just made me think of the one spot that Microsoft is not. I mean, isn't even there at all, and that is the VR game.
Yeah. So they were saying something about something, making an announcement later this year, like holiday time this year. So I'm inclined to agree with you. It's either got to be a VR or a new controller with haptic inputs or something like that.
Which we've been hearing on and off, like different patents and stuff like that.
I'm just saying,
with Microsoft, you mean with trying to go ahead and do, you mean trying to figure out something with the haptic?
I would say stick with the VR. Don't do anything with the haptic right now. It's too late in the console generation because at this point,
everything is going to look like it. I mean, you're just trying to copy.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, look, it's already going to look like that anyway with this whole thing with VR.
Right.
Because you have the augmented reality that the Nintendo Switch gives you.
Yep.
You have the virtual reality, obviously, that you get from PlayStation.
Right.
And you also have the VR or AR, depending on how you're going to look at it, with PC.
Right.
You know what I mean? With all of those different styles, with the Quest and
Oculus and all that stuff.
Everything like that. So it makes sense. It makes 100% sense that they're going to try to get into that part of the game.
Do you remember that one thing that we saw that was like a prototype where it was like the game projected all around the room for you? See, and you could actually move in the space. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Right. So I'm thinking,
and they've gotten, I've seen some stuff recently on like TikTok and on on a few like gaming websites, that it's like this whole platform. It's like a 5x5 essentially platform or something like that, like some type of hexagon, and like you can walk
on it. Yeah,
you're walking. You're acting like you're walking forward, but you mean you're standing still. You're not going anywhere, but you're walking, running, like all that type of stuff. I feel like that sitting in that part
right.
of the immersive experience, having something with that or having something with some type of kinetic suit or,
right.
you know what I mean? Or like pads that you can put on to where like, if you're knelt down and you're in the Arctic playing a COD game or something like that,
right.
maybe you might feel some cold on your legs.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Cause I remember seeing with some of these, some of the late, you know, some of the past E3s, they mean having like one of those haptic gloves.
Right.
That, you know what I mean? You could feel,
oh, that'd be sick.
You could feel the warmth and coldness of, you know what I mean? Of different objects.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, that is just, honestly, that's what they're missing. They're missing that. They're missing that. They're missing, what would also be good with that is having the natural feel of like, of what the actual haptics would be with said situations. So if you are using a gun in a game,
Borderlands.
Having some type of recoil or, you mean, or just having like some, just having like an actual feel.
Right. Right. Honestly, I feel like, if you're going to do, they're saying they're announcing something big this holiday. So if you're going to announce something big, don't just make it another copy. Give me something I don't have.
Yep.
Make me want to get it. I'm not going to. Let's just put that out there. But make me want to.
So if they went with the VR, let's just run with that.
All right.
Okay. And again, this is just pure speculation. We have no information about anything. If they run VR, you would have to have a Halo VR game.
Yeah, I mean,
you have to. There is nothing.
It's your flagship.
There isn't any. There you go. And that's exactly like what you were saying earlier. Flagship game. Flag like John 117. Like
right.
You have to be him.
Yeah, I mean, you have to. I just don't know what that looks like. You know, like because you'd have to put team to work already. Like it needs to launch alongside the VR. Like you can't, here's the VR, give me 6 months and you'll have a bunch of games to play.
Oh, you mean like what they did with the Xbox and with Halo?
Yeah.
To where it was supposed to be coming out with the console.
It was this entire new generation, because there's nothing on PS5 either.
Yeah.
Well, we got both consoles and I was like, oh man, this is great. I'm playing current gen games though. Not next gen.
I was playing Astrobot. PS5. Like, dude, it's just fun.
It's fun. It's fun.
Kids love it. It's fucking fun.
I loved it. It was good.
Right?
Had a good time.
Let's see here. So we are going to be getting a showcase in June.
Yeah.
And this is going to be on top of what we already know from the, you know what I mean, the third party releases that we already heard.
Right.
And also, you know what I mean, the stuff with like Indiana Jones and the Great Circle. We are also supposed to be getting more first party games.
I want more information on when these other Activision games are going to hit, because
that would be nice.
As I've been kind of half joking about, you know, I'm going to run through every Call of Duty campaign in a weekend, but that's all I'm going to do. I'm not going to play. I'll play zombies for sure. But I'm not running to those lobbies. Like, I'm not stupid. I ain't got time for that.
I don't got time for that type of hatred.
Right.
I really don't. I mean, like, I don't have time for that type of shit at all.
I'm not getting schooled either.
By some 11-year-old punk.
Yeah. Not happening.
That's even worse now that you're either 40 or almost 40, you know what I mean? Like, in my case. And then having to go ahead and get beat by somebody, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Two-thirds your age.
Well, it's time and opportunity. You know what I don't have when it comes to these games anymore? Time and opportunity.
I mean, I was always trash at these anyway.
No, I was not.
I was. Some of the games that we already know that are going to be coming out, we are going to be getting the DLC for Diablo 4, Vessel of Hatred. We already know that that's coming. We have Senua's Saga, Hellblade 2. We already talked about that. We already know that one's coming. Avowed, that's one that I know.
Bro.
There has been, like, from the very first showing that we had, very first cinematic, to what we're actually seeing now, the game doesn't even look like the same thing.
Doesn't look like the same thing.
At all. So I'm curious.
But when they first showed us, it was all CG stuff. Like, there's no actual gameplay. No. We saw actual gameplay.
I mean, granted, that was like 4 years ago.
I wish there was a layer of polish that could go on top. But I think we're too late in the development cycle for that.
I feel like you're probably right. Ara, History Untold, which is actually one I'm not too sure about. And then obviously Indiana Jones and the Great Circle. So basically, Xbox is going nowhere. You don't got nothing to worry about. Right. We're all good. Even though they're also losing fucking boatloads of money after boatloads of money.
Right.
With this console, just like with every other console. I mean, look, Alex, you know what I mean? Our boy Alex from What's Your Spaghetti Policy has said many times over, you know what I mean? They just keep on dumping money into things just to own it.
Right.
And when you were talking about trying to find that identity that they need to find, they're never going to find it if they continue to do that shit.
Right. You got to let these developers that you are acquiring develop.
Yes.
Like, if you're not letting them do the thing that you got them to do, then you're kind of fucking yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. The main thing for today's episode was mainly just the Xbox. We do have the DICE Awards. They did go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we had a whole bunch of things. Dude, Spider-Man cleaned
sure did.
House.
Right.
They were the number one with the amount of nominations.
I think they had 6 overall.
And I'm pretty sure they got most of them.
Yeah.
Baldur's Gate won Game of the Year.
Which, absolutely understandable.
Yes, and we're currently playing that ourselves. Yeah, we'll talk about it in a minute. But, like, congratulations to everybody over the DICE Awards for that game. Yeah. Yeah, we'll go ahead and... I don't need you to do it. I got it right here, babe.
It's fun to do.
It is. You're not wrong. But I got it there because of how many times I did it myself. So many times by myself.
Oh, I think we're talking about something different now.
Are we? Oh, shit. All right. How about we jump into a little bit of what we are playing?
So, now it is time to go ahead and let all the crew members at home and the ones abroad, we're going to tell you what we are playing.
I like that music.
Yeah.
It's a good one. All right. Most of what I've been playing... Oh, nice, I finished. Most of what I've been playing is Baldur's Gate 3. And we have been running not only a solo campaign, where all of us have been playing our own, but we've also been doing a co-op campaign. All right, so... There we go. All right, so which one do you want to go first?
Why don't we talk about the co-op campaign first?
Okay, so the co-op campaign is with myself, Mike, and the other guys that you will listen to on the Clock Nat 1 D&D Adventure, Dan and Javier.
Yeah. So we've all taken some different classes than our solo games.
Except for Hav and I still pick the same fucking class.
I don't know what's wrong with y'all. Or right with you. I don't know.
No. In Clock, we're both rogues. Different types of rogues, but still rogues.
Yeah.
But then in Baldur's Gate 3, in our run... Oh, no. Never mind.
No, solo runs.
My solo run, I'm a paladin, yeah.
Yeah, I think...
But I'm a ranger in our... Yeah. There you go. My bad. But I was laughing about it because of that, because I think in his solo run, he was a paladin.
Right.
Yeah, so it's like, come on, dude. You need to stop being like me.
Leave me alone.
Come on. But... So far, we just got into Act 2 a little bit.
Are we in Act 2 already?
We're definitely in the under.
No, we're not in Act 2. We're still in Act 1.
Oh, shit. Jesus, we're never going to finish the game.
No, it's going to take us forever.
Yeah. So we only play once a week, sometimes two, and it's only for like maybe an hour and a half max.
Yeah.
When we have our sessions. So this game's going to take us forever to finish as a group.
As a group, yeah. I'm fine with that, though.
Huh?
I'm fine with that, though, because
we do have so much fun.
Here's the thing, right? We do a thing where we, most of us played through the game, and, you know, we just kind of make some just snap decisions, as opposed to in our solo games where we're like, no, no, we're not just going to do anything all namby-pamby out here. I gotta be careful with this decision. But in this game, we're just like, nah, punch him in the face. Just do it.
So Javier, the biggest one with that is Javier is very big on save scumming to get the what he wants. And I know you're
so
the same.
So am I. So bad.
As much as I laugh at you guys with that, I've actually not done that.
Oh, I can't.
I haven't save scummed anything.
I save scummed the shit out of that kid.
I have not save scummed a single fucking thing. And one of the ways we know we didn't save scum in our co-op is Howson's dead.
He's dead. And still in our camp. He keeps shows up in our camp.
He's
just a body. And we're just like, what the fuck?
And we can loot him too.
Right.
We can fucking loot Howson if we wanted to. Actually, I think I did take some good berries from him, to be honest.
I mean, he can't
use it. He ain't using shit.
He can't.
Would a scroll of revivify work on him?
We tried. It doesn't work.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I don't know. I honestly don't know what the fuck to do. But like you said, so when we're all going through, we have, once we're looking at the options of what we can say in the dialogue, whoever is not doing the decisions can make a suggestion.
Right.
And our suggestions have been out of pocket.
Right, absolutely.
Like half the time there's an option just straight up attack. Yep. And more times than not with this co-op, we've just attacked.
Oh, just hit him. Shoot him.
Like, dude, the Blighted Village, we attacked and we killed everybody there.
Right.
We went through all the trolls, or you mean all that shit? The
bugbear and the troll that were fucking in the barn.
Oh god, yeah. Oh, dude, I forgot about that.
Just hopped in there. Let's go.
Just murdered motherfuckers with that one. I mean, I think I died on that one too.
That's fine.
I mean, like, I came back.
Got right. Yeah, it's fine. but we do, like, this is the intrusive thoughts gameplay, because we are just, yeah, all right, just hit him. Just hit him, well, or take that.
3 out of 4 are just hit him.
That's also because the 3 of the 4 of us that have played past this point are like, no, I'm just curious.
True. At the same time, Dan plays Baldur's Gate like he plays D&D.
Right.
And look, I love Dan. He is one of my best friends. He was in my wedding. Like, he is my boy. And he knows that we do this to poke fun at him and just kind of have fun a little bit. But my man can't make decisions for nothing. Like, and he gets so mad when he gets hit in the game. It's like, dude, you realize they're rolling a D20. Like, right. Just like us.
It's possible.
Like, everything is possible. And then he gets so mad when he gets hit. They get him for like 3 damage.
It's like, come on, man. It's not bad.
Dude, you just hear him, yo. Fuck! You don't need to be that angry, dude.
It's okay, dude. Like, I understand they killed you. Like, they downed you. And I'm just like, no, I'm just going to stab him while he's down.
I mean, they did that to me a few times.
They absolutely do that. They absolutely do that in the game, too. Situationally. So how's your solo run going?
My solo run, I'm almost to the end of Act 2. With like Moonrise and you're in Act 3. Hav just beat the game the other night.
Honestly, I would have beat it before him had I not, like, I just decided to pause.
Yeah,
on the game, on all gaming, really. Yeah, I was doing a lot of stuff for Team Clock with more music and editing episodes, and that took a priority for me.
Just to give all y'all a little bit of that information, when you listen to Team Clock Natural 1 D&D Adventure, all of the music you're hearing in the background was written, played, produced by Mr. Michael Clyburn. Right?
Yeah, sure have. Sure was.
He, his brain gave you every single bit of this.
I mean, y'all gave me some input.
We gave you input, but your brain still did the work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
So that one, I will go ahead and make sure you get your flowers. So.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Smell great. We, you know, it's very fun to kind of run through this game, but I just needed kind of a break. And honestly, after this is done, that's why I'm going to go to Helldivers, because I need something dumb. I need to dumb it down. This game, I've been playing very big games. Starfield, very big game. Baldur's Gate, very big game. But like I was saying to you, it's a big game, but it's not a big game. Like there's space and stuff.
Big game story wise,
right?
Story wise, the game is bad.
It's so rich. It's so rich with story, and it's just like I'm almost exhausted from it. But once you know, once I finish, which will probably be early next week, you know, I feel possibly by the time this comes out, I feel like I'll be getting ready to move on. That said, I'm in Act 3 right at the end. I wanted to do one thing before I moved on to roll credits. Okay. I went back and did that one thing. I started the end encounter and I was like, there's one thing I wanted to do. So let me run back a save and then go do that thing and then come back. So, you know, I'm right there. I'm ready to get it done. And I will. I'll probably play while I'm waiting for everybody to get home from D&D tomorrow night.
Right.
And then, you know, I'll get it moving.
Nice, nice. I love it. Yeah, dude. I'm having a blast. Like I said, I'm towards the end of Act 2. Just running through. I finally made my way to the end, courtesy of you helping me on, on the big game Sunday. I ain't getting fucking, I ain't getting hit on nothing.
No.
Nah, fuck that. But, yeah, you came over with the fam, and I showed you where I was in Act 2, mm-hmm. and you were like, yeah, dude, all up here. Like, you really need to go check that out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, well, shit. So that's what this week, I've just been systematically clearing out all the dark spots.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Just kind of just making my way up. Again, I run into the same thing that you do. I run into that fatigue of like big game, big story, and just like, wow, there's just so much.
Yeah, I mean, I usually don't do it back to back, but I did it here and I was like, that's a lot.
Yeah.
And before Starfield, during Starfield and then after Starfield, then after that, I went back to Starfield. I was playing Spider-Man, and that's
another one.
Also another
rich
very,
story.
Very rich story. And I'm just like, I just need dumb. I need point shoot. Like I just shoot bug, shoot monster, shoot robot. Like that's all I want. Mm-hmm. That's what I need.
Yeah, so it's either that or Fall Guys. You know what I mean? Essentially.
Oh my god. Yeah. I'm due for like a good
we all are.
3-4 week stretch at Fall Guys.
I think we all are.
Honestly. I agree.
It's been a hot minute, and also we can get some really fun things going because then we can get Shelly back in.
Oh yeah.
And have a whole bunch of
As far as Fall Guys, like I know they've like upped their game with the level creator.
Dude, I watched your son.
Right.
I watched your son. Dude, he created that level throughout the entire time that, you know what I mean, we were running a session.
Right.
And he did, like, the level was fantastic. He did a great job with it.
And these kids.
It looked like there was some great challenging.
These kids, I don't know what to do with them.
You got to figure out one way or another to just nurture it.
Right. Do what you do, man.
Hell yeah. But, all right. Is there anything else you've been messing with?
No, not right now. Like I said, most of my time, my free time, which is all free time right now, is getting swallowed up by the pod. You know, I love that I'm doing it. I'm happy to be here to do this, but I'm probably going to go right home and jump right back into where I left off editing episode 14. We just released 8.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, but like the work you have, like I said, dude, everything anybody's heard so far with this podcast, up until, you mean, what's probably going to be into the 20s of the actual episodes,
yeah.
It is going to be 100% Mike doing everything on it. And number one, thank you.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I'm saying, for doing that.
Oh, don't worry, you're getting thrown under the bus real soon.
Oh, I know. And I just downloaded all of the music for everything that you created.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that way I can jump in and just try to make it seem somewhat like what you're doing.
Right. But you listen to it, you know how it goes.
Yeah, I got ideas.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna add a lot more spots with like big echoey sounds.
Look, once
the power of friendship.
when you're the producer, man, you can do whatever
the
fuck you want.
You don't want to tell me that. You don't want to tell me that. I'm gonna make these episodes long as fuck. I'm gonna make them fucking nutty.
They already are.
All right. Again, Mike, thank you for being here.
Of course, bro.
Thank you for running this episode with me. I appreciate it.
And to get better soon, buddy.
Ain't that the fucking truth? And yeah, man, let me let Ant take us out, and then we'll give you the last.
Glorious. It's a glorious day today, and it's Saturday, and we're going to connect with CGC. You can find us at consolegamingcrew.com. You can find us at our email, which is consolegamingcrew@gmail.com. Our Twitter handle, by the way, is @consolecrew. YouTube and Instagram are both consolegamingcrew. If you check us out, check out Boss Rush Network, which is bossrush.net. Great place. There's lots of things you can find there aside from us. Great people. By the way, Twitch should be returning at some point. It is CGC Podcast. We have co-op Mondays, and we're going to do something fancy for Fridays. I don't know yet, but that's where you can find us. And I hope you all have a wonderful day.
All right, y'all. So, we'll catch y'all next week. It's going to be hopefully a Heroes and Villains. We'll let you know which one is going to drop. And until next time, I want to ask everybody to please jump into Team Clock, a Natural 1 D&D adventure. It is, again, myself. Mike is the DM and also playing many of the characters. And then you have Javier and Dan also. Who have been on this podcast. And I mean, it's just us running through our first actual D&D adventure. I mean, none of us have done it before. I mean, you've played D&D, but this is your first time DMing.
Yeah, it's my first time DMing. Yeah.
Homebrew everything. So yeah, dude, it is so much fun. The characters are great. The voices Mike does are fantastic. They make all of us laugh. We love every bit of it. So until next time, y'all, please stay safe, wash your hands, do what you gotta do to feel good, and it better be them games, because that's how I feel good.
Amen.
And as always, y'all,
game on.
Game on, baby. Peace.
This was a show from
6 years old, maybe, Productions.